Respectfully. And I say this as a friend who loves you so much. You look rough. Are you okay?
I'm not. I feel rough. Sometimes the sweatpants of the day, makeup free, kind of don't give a flying F sometimes mentality that I like to live by. Sometimes the way I look doesn't match how I feel. Like sometimes I look a lot messier than I am. Today, it matches it, and it really weak. We're in the depths. I watched Harry Potter on the flight back. We're in the Deathly Hallows right now. I am Deathly Hallows part 3.
I was gonna say you look like you need a Kit Kat bar.
Oh, I had a Butterfinger this morning.
You know, like give me a break. Get it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no breaks, Giselle. Unfortunately, that's the whole premise that this business is built on.
Well, we're going to carry you through this.
Thank you.
This Tuesday here on No Breaks
Thank
with
you.
Jamie Erdahl.
Four Words of the Day is still alive and well. I still title all the videos this. And today I titled it, I didn't even tell you this, Lean In or Burn Out. That's the title of the cast today.
Okay. Are you leaning in or burning out?
I am on a high dive. I am out there on the edge. I don't know. The words didn't come to me great on live television earlier, and I certainly don't think even after the epic nap that I just took, it's gonna go well. So yes, you are here not only as a friend, a brilliant expert with a knowledge base that is vast, but also just as a crutch.
I'm here as your emotional support hamster, Thank you. I see you doing your dead man's float in the middle of the ocean. I'm coming out. I'm Baywatching through the sand.
And I'm not going to do that thing that kids do when you try to teach them how to dead man's float. That's a very important part of teaching kids how to swim is the dead man's float. And then they start to thrash because they get really nervous that they're floating. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let you hold my head and we can sing the ABCs together.
I got you. I'll take you back. Well, but here's the thing. So in case you missed last week, you went to Madrid.
Yes.
So you have gone across time zones and back. You just got back yesterday.
Yeah.
Not to mention you were on the air this morning. So no breaks.
No breaks.
No breaks. None at all.
And no breaks normally is part of what I think you do as well, despite our lives being very different, which is like you agree to things, but the things that are not seen by a lot of people. And sometimes I just chuckle at like the things I volunteered for at my kid's school, or like people see the TV part and then they like kind of know that I have a family life, but family life is like real comical. And for you, like building your business, there's like the public facing business building side. And then there's all those intricacies that go with it that people don't see. And sometimes for someone who's like an overachiever, puts too much on their plate, you have to laugh at like, wow, I didn't do myself a favor here. So truly that is the no breaks version of just everything. And that's why, similar to 75 Hard, no breaks every day live, which I was able to maintain minus my travel day last week. I was live yesterday on my phone coming home from LAX because I couldn't get home in time, but I was there. Anyways, it's a little bit of a, I never want to be the woe is me. I always want to be like authentic in how I actually feel, which you're seeing it, but it's not that I'm like, oh, people should feel badly for me that I traveled. Like, no, I got to go to Spain and back. That's insane. I got to go make be a part of like history and the best sports brand in the world. However, that doesn't negate from how annoyed I am just at like the space that I am in right now, which is just like 3 more TV shows this week. There's like Thanksgiving pageantry that is happening in the public school system and all the kids are out of school next week. And I'm like, oh my God, everybody's going to be everywhere next week, crawling all over each other like ants, and no breaks.
Well, and it's one of the things that I say to myself and also to my clients is it's not a but or a however, it's an and also.
And also.
Because if we but or however, we negate everything else that we just said versus recognizing, hey, these two things can totally coexist.
Yeah.
Like even for example, on those days where you're like, I'm so grateful that I have my kids and also they're driving me insane.
Yes.
Like absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to throw them out the window and I won't.
Yep.
Won't.
And exactly. And also. Exactly. Like I just wasn't around them for 6 days. I missed them terribly. I was so happy to see them yesterday. And also it would be nice to have like a buffer day, a half a buffer day. Buffer days don't exist when you're kind of in the grind and you know, the kids don't know the difference and they're just like so happy to soak you up. So it's, and the other couple of things, like this morning I said some things on GMFB that were so unlike me. Like, if you're a Hall of Famer in the NFL, you wear a gold jacket. You get the gold jacket. You go to Canton, Ohio. Like, gold jacket's the term. Out of my mouth today, for no reason other than what I am experiencing right now, I said yellow. And
it is yellow, in all
I'm
fairness.
I'm so mad at myself. And my wonderful producer, who's kind of a hard ass, but also is very like, you know, he never gets in my ear because he's like the EP. He just goes, gold jacket. And I was like, ugh. And then you got to do the thing where I had to like kind of backtrack and like say it again. But I'm sure people notice. I'm sure in those moments, first time someone's seeing like the female on a football show, they'd be like, God, that girl's an idiot. That's where that's born from. Mm-hmm. But it's a gold jacket, Jamie. Gosh.
It's a goal. It's an honest mistake, and you could be totally awake and still have a moment like that. And life happens, and you keep on going. And it's, you know, I feel like these are moments where you could have a learning lesson. Yeah. Where, for example, the next time that you take an international trip, you might try to find a buffer or make mm-hmm. a day or get a babysitter or book a massage mm-hmm. or have an appointment or like designate nap time. I also know though that when I go on the road, doesn't matter if it's domestic or international, I will put on my calendar that's public to my team, and it will say, do not schedule. Mm. Sometimes if I have 2 days, it says, do not effing schedule.
Yeah.
Like seriously, don't do it. Guess who puts something on that calendar? Almost always.
You do it. No, you do it.
This one. Something, and then the day will come and I'll go, who the put something on my calendar? Oh, wait.
Who's you? I also want to just like full disclosure, and Giselle, this is a space of honesty between the two of us.
Of course,
remember how
you
told me that like Spain's about the nightlife?
Oh.
Okay. So the other small part of
this. Did you go to the club?
I went to the club after my game. So follow me. I get up at 6 a.m. Sunday, do the game, go all the way through. Now it's 8 p.m. and we're back in the hotel lobby and we're hanging as a crew. And Sam Wilson, dang it. See, my brain. Wilson, it texts me. He's like, you might as well just stay up all night. I think he said it as a ha-ha. I took it a little too literally because there were people going to the club. And I was like, my car was coming at 3 a.m. And I was like, I mean, if not now, then when? So I did. I was at the club from 12 until 3. And then I came back, zipped up my suitcase. Girl, like I had showered. I had done the full shower, the hair mask, the face mask. So I sprayed some sea salt spray in my hair, put fake blue light glasses on, and went out to the club like that, threw some fancy jeans on. Like you wouldn't have known the difference. Drank water most of the time. But I was like 2 a.m. Like, I you know what? I'm going to show you a selfie. Because I sent it to Wilson and I was like, I am at the club. And he was like, are you like, that is what I looked like. I think there were people dangling from the ceiling in that photo, actually. So I did.
Wait, what are these Hermione glasses that you have?
They're just like blue lights. Like when I, you know, those blue light blocker glasses.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's like my alter ego. Like for when I recognize that the no makeup look sometimes can't be that cute. And so I threw those
in
on.
In Europe, I feel like that's pretty normal.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw my photos from the NFL game, but I bought this necklace at the Zara there that's like a bow tie, but it's like a necktie, but it sparkles.
Okay.
And I threw it on with the tank top. And that's why like I have my sparkle necktie on.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there it is.
There I was. So I was up for 24 hours straight. Then I got girlfriend. On the plane.
Oh, girlfriend.
And then I slept, though. I slept the 10 hours on the plane, but it also self-induced. So that's why I'm kind of like, don't pity me. But I should have said gold jacket.
Well,
anyways.
You know, what you're trying to say, though, is that you take accountability.
I do.
And you only have yourself to blame.
Yep.
And also, sorry for partying.
You know? I have pretty, pretty significant FOMO. Especially like I actually don't have it in hindsight. Like if I find out later that you guys went and did something that I wasn't offered, I have no issue with that. I'm just kind of like, I had myself a time sleeping. That's great. If I am standing in the lobby and you are going and I said I was going that way, I'm going that way with you. Like that's
I have
and I've just fully leaned into it now. Like I don't say like I'm old, I have kids. No, I'm just like, when else am I going to be? Because I also have a nervousness. Like, I can't make those kind of decisions on my own. I would be, like, too scared to pick a club. I don't know if it's the right one. What if it's a bad experience, whatever. And then I get really shame. I feel like I get filled with shame on that. So somebody else had picked the place. It looked awesome. They were already there. And I was like, yeah, I should go do that. Because when else am I going to have this offer? What if never? Sleep on
Well,
the
here's
plane.
The question. Was it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, God, it was great. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
It was great. Girl, the music was, like, what we used to listen to in the fifth grade on the couches in the middle school, like now 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, but like remixed. I was with a bunch of people in their 30s, and we were all having a great
time. I was about to ask, what was the average median age
for
of the
sure
people who
were in their
you 20s,
if the, for the like people that were from Madrid, Spain. They were doing that thing where, have you ever been to a club where they go, psh, and they spray water down on the people that are mm-hmm. in the dance floor? Mm-hmm. You have been to
yeah,
many
cryo
clubs.
Water. Yeah, I have been through too many clubs.
Yeah, I haven't done that a lot in my life.
Too
so
many.
I was like, what is happening? It wasn't happening to me because I was in a special part of the club, but I was like, wow, you're getting sprayed on. And then there were these like ladies that came out, like they were people were hanging from the ceiling doing performances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was a great
time. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, that's, it took me 11 minutes to admit that.
Right. Now I'm like, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed,
thank
actually.
You.
That's yeah. not even, that's,
thank
I'm,
you.
I, yeah, no.
So in the spirit of lean yeah. in or burn out, I leaned in at the time.
You
however,
did.
I think the problem is I will experience some temporary burnout this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You definitely need to phone a friend.
Yeah, I need to.
Hi.
Yeah.
And get some probably help from, you know.
Wilson, yeah. And yep. also the way my like packet in comes is some mornings I'm like efficient after the show before I come do this. Like other days I nap. I try to nap 3 days a week. I think it'll be a full-fledged napping experience like all week. Mm-hmm. Just got to recover, get to the weekend, and we're good. And then it's a holiday week, which next week I do want to do all things Thanksgiving with you. However, today, speaking of the burnout, speaking of going hard in the paint, which is a basketball reference.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Going hard in the paint would be – okay, so do you know what the paint is on a basketball court? It's the key. It's the near the rectangle box near the basket. Do you know there's two rectangle boxes?
Yep,
so that would be called the paint because oftentimes it's painted a different color. And that's where, like, big people play.
Okay.
Yeah, you know some of the people that are friends with the high school, like, and so that's where like elbows are thrown, you body up. So when you say go hard in the paint, you are like, you have to be physical.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
the more you know.
Going hard in the paint, you yourself went back to USC homecoming this week.
Oh, I sure did, girl. I sure did, girl.
It's a very late homecoming, I observed. Is that always a November situation at USC?
I don't think so. I feel like it has been in October before, but you're right. I didn't really think about that until just now.
Yeah.
And I also feel like now that we're in a new, what's it called? Division?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, conference.
I feel like that conference. Yeah. Thank you. Conference.
Yep.
See, I don't even know,
no,
you know?
You're right.
So now that we're in a new conference, I feel like that's also kind of messed some things up a little bit.
Interesting.
But as you know, now that you are a resident of California, it never rains. It's 72 and sunny pretty much all the time.
And what did it do?
But when it rains, it pours. Like it pours, my friend. Mm. And so this weekend I committed to going out to homecoming, and there was a reunion for the USC Song Girls. We have the pom-poms, we dance around, we don't cheer, we don't yell, we don't tumble, we just dance with pom-poms, cute little pleated skirts and sweaters.
The sweaters.
And of course, this is the reunion weekend. I almost wasn't going to go until a friend of mine said, no, you have to go. Everybody who didn't go last time is going to be there. There were hundreds of RSVPs from names who I hadn't seen in so long. I was so excited. And all of them backed out.
Is it because they're like local and they're like, no, we'll catch you next year when they do it again? Like, why did they?
Well, they don't
out?
Do it every year. They usually do it every 5 years. I don't know why they did it in this increment because it's been 2 years since my last reunion. I can't remember the reason for why.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to because of the rain. And a lot of them are now moms and they have toddlers and bringing toddlers into a rainstorm. Yeah. Not ideal, not pleasant, and also then
the
having to get babysitters.
That's part of the problem. They want to be in the puddles, and they make it a mess.
Mm.
Puddles are the worst. Puddles are the nemesis. I hear what you're doing. I see what happened, and I understand it a little bit, but I'm sad for you that you missed out on those people.
Well, I know, but I also feel like I fully understand why they backed out. At the same time, for those of us who did it anyway, and it peaked in terms of downpour when we actually got out onto the field. I was thinking it was going to slow down a little bit, but for those of us who actually did it, there's just definitely an elevated new bond that we have, or we danced through the rain together. We, you know, and also we were supposed to go out there for a less than 2 minute geriatric routine. One of the easier routines that I've learned over the years. I was
at
shocked.
Like midnight in your hotel room. You posted
right,
that.
Which never happens. Like normally it takes me forever to learn the routines. My muscle memory is not the way that it used to.
Uh-huh.
We ended up having to do like 5 different songs, and for those 5 different songs, a lot of them were traditional, not even routines, just gestures that we would have to do in the past. But no one told me. Like, I don't know if it was because I was late for the run through or if they didn't even know what was going on. But there were like 2 or 3 songs before our routine and 2 songs afterwards. And I just had to pat myself in the back for making it through all of those songs. because I was like my arm was sore. I was clapping and jumping and doing all the things.
Were
but
you just like
I
a
did
messy
it.
Disaster after?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was.
Did you go back in the stands?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Yeah, both of my parents came. They were the cutest little poncho muffins.
Yeah.
And they had the best attitude. They played Iowa. They won.
Great.
When we knew, the moment we knew that we were going to win in the last like 2 minutes, the paid actor that was the rainbow that appeared over the Coliseum was the best part of the day.
So
it was
so
beautiful
movie.
And so glorious. Yeah. Yeah, totally. But everything just soaked, like completely.
How
soaked.
Awesome was the shower that you took after?
The only thing that would have made it better is if I had a tub.
Oh,
if I would have had a tub, Jamie, I would have done what we were talking about last week. I would have ordered room service, or I would have stopped and gotten nachos and like a margarita, and I would have pretended like I was at a swim up bar in Cabo. But it was the most glorious, magical, just like everything. My face was so swollen because we had to get there at 6 a.m. And so we were on similar schedules actually on Saturday, similar, but very different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we were there from like 6:30 a.m. to like 7:00 p.m. mm-hmm. out in the pouring rain, nonstop movement. I think I had like 15,000 steps or something.
Nice.
Because the Coliseum also has no escalators, no elevators. It's all just, it's not very handicap accessible at all. And that shower afterwards. And of course, when I wash everything off, when I look completely homeless, when I am just tattered and I go down to meet my parents in the lobby, I run into someone I know who I hadn't seen in like 10 years. One of my coaches from like 10 or 15 years ago. I'm actually shocked that she recognized me because I had one of those moments afterwards where I looked in the mirror and I scared myself.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had one of those where you're like,
yeah, it just happened to me like 5 minutes before we started doing this.
So I waved to you from the other side of the world. Those moments. Tell me if you feel this way. I really feel like today's generation has gotten soft.
Mm-hmm.
Like no offense to, for example, the current squad of Songgirls, but I'm watching from the stands and the squad of Songgirls are wearing like warm-ups on the field with hoods.
Would you,
like,
I remember this. When you were, like you, your story is of like, you were not allowed to do that.
No, we would never. No. Like, absolutely not. We could not wear our signature uniform was a white turtleneck. Unless it was 98 degrees or higher, we were not wearing halter tops. Like, mm-hmm. you were wearing a turtleneck. And unless it was raining, you had your hair down. You were never pulling it back or putting it in a ponytail or putting on a bun. You weren't putting on earmuffs. You weren't putting on jackets. Like, you were just doing it. And I just think about all of the things that I was pushed through both in college, but even in high school as an athlete, where like, oh, you have a fever. I'm sorry. Go run another lap.
Yeah,
they're like, you know, now it's like, oh, you have a cough. You should probably stay home. Yeah. What?
Right. Yes.
What?
Totally.
Like, I remember getting off like stages or like getting done with competitions and I'd go throw up and then immediately have to go back on stage or like, and there's probably a teeny little part of us or part of me that goes like, oh, like I kind of maybe should have stayed home. But like, not really. I'm actually kind of grateful for those moments.
It's
like,
so
I would
true.
Wish my worst coaches on my future children.
Oh,
I don't know. What do you think, especially now having kids?
I think, well, I'm not really in the like push through the pain age yet because they're 6, 4, and 1.
Right.
However, I do think I feel that more so with the next generation of women, especially, you know, anybody who want to be on television for sports. You know, they come to me and they're like, what's your advice? And I have a hard time delivering like blanket statement advice. It just feels very inauthentic to me. I want to make it, you know, I want to cater it. Unless I know what you're about and like, are you bought in? Are you going to do the crazy things? Like, then I'm not really, I need to know so many other things about your life and about you before I am going to authentically be like, this is definitely for you. Because it's not for some people. My finest example I always use is, you know, our parents, our dads are physicians. And like my childhood, and I'm sure yours was too, like, if my dad was on call, like my mom would come into my room. We had like the old landline phones and like unplug the landline phone and be like, dad's going to be up all night. The house phone's going to be ringing. Like,
yeah,
I have to get in touch with him. Okay, fine. Like, he worked on holidays. He worked on weekends. He would show up to my basketball game in scrubs and then leave. Like, it was – so my family dynamic – my mom's a nurse. My sister's a nurse. Her husband's a doctor. My family dynamic is rooted in weird hours, commitment to the game, and just, like, go after what you want. So when I started, I was very grateful for them because, to your point, working in entertainment TV, you used to just crack down and like take advantage of the fact that people yeah. would take off and you'd be like, hell yeah, I'll work every holiday. You,
yes.
Maybe, I don't know if you ever thought this ever dawned on you, but like your parents subliminally made that okay for you to do just like from your childhood. Like I never 100%. Even thought otherwise taking an assignment on Thanksgiving, missing never. Thanksgiving. It never was a thing. It was like, no one's going to be mad. This is what we do. So
we were just talking about that before we got on the air where I was like, I'll never – like this time mm-hmm. years ago, I would be working this upcoming Saturday until January 10th or yep. 15th of the following year. And I'd work every single
yep.
day.
Yep.
No days off. Doesn't matter how sick you are. Yep. Like I would not have a single day off. No. So yeah, 1,000%, I agree with you.
And so if I – you know, a couple questions I always ask people that want to advice is I say like, you know, well, what's your family life like? Like what are your – if you're going to tell me that – your like dad is a banker and your mom was a teacher, or not teacher's a bad example because they grind too, banker and like someone that works that goes to a 9-to-5. The 9-to-5s are the tricky ones because mm-hmm. those family dynamics I feel are not as understanding to do the crazy things, to grind, to pick up the, you know, because banks are always off on holidays. What do you mean you're gonna go work a basketball game? What do you mean you're gonna go just be like a stage runner for a broadcast? Like it's not supported. So the amount of times I've had to move for a job is just kind of like, yeah, that's what you do. If you are entrenched with your family life because no one in your family ever moved out of the major metropolitan area that you're from, then you're less likely to maintain this, what it takes to be in the industry. Now, these are some broader strokes. I'm not saying it happens every
totally.
Time, but I will say that like this next generation, that's a cough button, is I can't just tell you like, hey, this is what you have to do, because I'm just not sure they were parented that way. I'm not sure if their support system is like built up that same way. So I do kind of like clock it differently. But there are some people like our age and above. It's like that's why I draft towards like the older people in my industry instead of young, because I'm like, we know we have that in common.
Yeah, absolutely. I always ask, is there anything else that you can imagine yourself doing?
Yeah, no.
And if the answer is yes, go do that. Go to that until you cannot think of literally one more thing. Like,
yeah,
go do those things and then come back to this.
Yep.
Because if you don't want it that bad,
yep.
there's going to be somebody else who does. And that's the other thing that you need to recognize too, is that it really is the game of inches mm-hmm. and who is willing to outwork you. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody else is willing to work harder or longer, I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how much you love it.
Who you know.
But who you know, the ones who can outwork you are going to outshine you. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be the ones who just are the last ones standing. Mm-hmm. And you had a good run, but it's just not, if you don't want it that badly, or if you have other options, if you have a plan B, it's going to be a lot harder, yeah. longer, more grueling for you to get it.
I remember early in my career, I was going after a job and we had like a kind of a group audition process for this very specific role. And I remember I was friends with one of the girls that also auditioned, and she texted me after and was like, because I worked at the place and the opening was at the place. And but they, you know, I didn't know if I wanted it, but it was like a real audition process. I wasn't just going to get the job. They brought in other people. So she texted me. She's like, what's the building address, or like essentially the mailing address for the person that ran the audition? Because she was going to send him a thank you note. And I was like, have I been doing this all wrong this entire time for not sending thank you notes for when I audition places? Like it was such an aha moment. And unfortunately, I hate to admit this, I'm not the best email person. Like I see them, I respond like urgently as needed, but I'm not like, let me get your email address and then do the follow up 3 days later and like recap the three things that we talked about and like, this is how we should connect. It's never made sense to me. It's not my personality. So I forget why I brought this up. I forget what point you just made.
But she went, yes. She seemingly went above and beyond, or yeah. she did something that you didn't know to do or weren't willing to do, or maybe it made a difference,
like
or maybe it didn't.
Thing that she did that to me, I was like, that's not going to get you the job. Like be good, be committed, do the grind, do all the other things. Why write the thank you note? To me, that doesn't make sense, but
right.
that's my, I ended up getting the job. Just saying. But
right.
I don't under, like if to your point about, if you can envision yourself doing other paths, like then go do that. This was my only path and I got a lot of great jobs. I didn't get some jobs that I wanted for sure.
Yeah.
But it never deterred me. And I never wrote a thank you note. I just was who I was authentically, and I just worked, and I just stayed, and I worked, and I grinded. And yeah, I'm not sure about this next generation. Jury's still out, but I also am very cautious of, like, what was your upbringing like? Tell me about, like, you know, because I need to know more about that before we get into it.
Did you experience love as a child? Do you have a chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, right.
Do you have any ex-boyfriends who you hate? Mm. Has anybody ever told you that you can't? How did you respond?
Oh my gosh. Speaking of, this is totally off the cuff. I want to tell you something. I was looking up, I searched dental card in my Gmail because I needed to look for an old one that my now spouse had sent me. This email came up from an ex-boyfriend of mine that did not treat me well at the end of the relationship. And I was waiting for, you know, I might have been in the airport, like at a layover. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to read back on some of these interactions. I want to see what Jamie was like in these interactions. And, oh, first of all, like, wow, the narcissistic attitude of this person. This was like fresh off a breakup. The interactions mm-hmm. were like, I had blocked him and he was emailing me. And he was trying to be like, you know.
Yeah.
I was so proud of her.
Do I know this person, by the way?
Okay. I was so proud of her, for she was trying so hard to create a boundary that this person that was not having. And I was reading these emails because it was like the old school, like the way it was like what he wrote, then my response. So I was like kind of reading it in reverse order. And it was like, it was so incredible. It was like all this language from him about like, I didn't know you were this type of person. You know, can you just unblock me so I know I'm unblocked? And like, he was trying to make it so much about I was making him feel badly for having to block him. And my sentences back, I was just like, it was so weird. Go back someday and like read 10-year-old emails.
Oh, I have, believe it or not. I totally have.
And I was reading it and I was like, I was doing my best. I was for sure like I was in like a hurt space, but I was really like, I was very succinct. I was like just several sentences and he was not liking how that was going, the language I was trying to use. But I was like, you know what? Good job, girl. You did your best. I caved a couple of like the boundaries that I was trying to set. I can't remember if I unblocked him or not, but like, wow, it was all because I was like, and then I found the dental card that I needed and I was good and I moved on with my day. But it's
I can totally, sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it. Cause you said the thing about like, do you have a boyfriend that you hate or that hated you? And I was like, that just happened to me like last week. And yeah, I was like, man, why? This is crazy. But yeah, the language was insane. It's like all the videos you see now on social media about like narcissistic partners, these are the red flags. Like I always sit and watch them because I think they're fascinating.
Totally.
But now looking back, I'm like, holy hell, this person had my number up and down. And like it was just incredible how manipulative he attempted to be. And I felt sad for her, but I also was like, yes, you did pretty good.
Yeah. I that actually happened to me when I went home, which is pretty often. Mm-hmm. But as you know, one of my favorite things to do when I go with my parents and stay with them is to go through old boxes of things because my mom, in the healthiest way possible, is a bit of a hoarder.
Yeah.
She just has rooms of souvenir boxes and things that she refuses to throw away, which I kind of appreciate. Yeah. You know, she's not going to throw anything away without asking me first, but then she throws nothing away or she buys just boxes upon boxes. And I found a box filled with old journals. Mm. And I just hurt so badly for the pages upon pages of trying to figure out some of these older relationships or just the time that I invested in some of them or just knowing that that's so not what I wanted. And I think I wished or I thought that I could manifest my way into fixing the relationship or like fixing the person. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I feel like I heard over and over and over, the person that is meant for you, they're going to feel like home. But I didn't realize that the home that I created was chaotic for the types of people who I would date. Okay. So I would date a lot of the same guys over and over and over because it would feel familiar. It would feel like I knew this person for forever. It would feel like, oh my gosh, this is my soulmate. And really it was just like, no, this is just, it's familiar because you've been here before.
Yeah.
So are we going to stay here? Like, are we going to keep dating the same guy in a different outfit and with a different job? Yeah. Or are we going to attempt to rewire whatever the stupid pattern is?
Yeah.
But it makes me sad, just all the time that I spent. And also at the same time, it makes me really proud because I feel like I wouldn't call myself an expert of relationships, but I've definitely over the years become an expert of breakups. Mm. And breakups have always been some of the best things that have ever happened to me because it has given me the time and space to remind myself who I am without somebody else and to create this person who doesn't need somebody else, mm-hmm. which has then made room for somebody who doesn't need that person, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When they're the ad in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Do you have
And I thought of you this whole weekend, actually, because how do you describe Wilson? Is it unbothered? Is that the word that you use? I was thinking of you the whole time because this weekend in the pouring rain from 6 a.m. to like 6, 7 p.m. with my parents brought along my boyfriend. And it was really a test to just see how much patience do you actually have?
And how do you make this not about you at all?
Yes. Yes. Completely. It's my performance.
Yep.
And also the weather is horrible.
My alma mater. Parking is miserable. My traditions.
Totally. And he just rolled it all off. Yes. Just the vibes were high. It was good. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of all of the ghosts of boyfriends past, thinking about how would they handle this
miserable
situation? What would they think about this?
And
how
even
would
if they had performed well on the day, they may have made you pay for it later. With cold,
totally.
With a cold shoulder, with a, you know.
The second you get back to the hotel room or when you're not around your parents or in under their breath and stupid little comments.
Yep.
And I'm like, I choose peace.
I choose peace.
I choose peace.
Hey, I'm telling you, unbothered, sneaky leader in the clubhouse for a great long-term partner. Just show up and be a good teammate. Be a good teammate. And recognize that it's a long game and you're not always going to be at 100%, both of you. Sometimes someone's going to have to be at 90 and you're at 10, or you give them 90 because they need you to be. It's just but it's not these quick hitters of always counting or keeping it balanced or whatever. It was, that's really cool. I'm happy because it is more than just the day vibe. It is for you, he could have been crabby and cranky on when you flew back on Monday morning or something, or Sunday morning.
I was thinking about how you would just share that story about him where I think he got a flat tire and then it started raining or something and he had this really nice
person
suit
was coming
on.
Up. Yeah. This homeless person was coming up being if you use this other kind of nut and bolt. And I was just I have several exes that would have snapped at that person. And and I probably at the time would have been that was annoying. But I was wow, you're on the ground on 11th and 68th in Manhattan in a suit. Changing a tire on your car. I'm visiting, and we're probably late to something or, whatever. He was just in the grindiest of grind part of his career. It was just all the things. And then here comes this poor soul who doesn't have a home in Manhattan giving you advice on how to change the tire. And he was just thanks. We got in the car, he chuckled. And I was God, there's so many other emotions that you could have come back in the car with.
Yes.
And yeah.
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 And so again, you choose peace.
I choose peace. God, that's so funny. Do you have an age? Do you have an age where you look back, and I'll go first because as you were saying the thing about your journal, so I'll let you think about it, that you look back and you're I really hurt. I was hurting the most then. I'm going to pick a 4-year range. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say mine was 20 to 24. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I was being heartbroken. I think some of the times I was doing the heartbreaking intentionally or not. If I wasn't I wasn't probably being the most kind and self-aware person to men in my life. But also just the decisions I was making imply that person was hurting or just feeling not great about themselves. And I'm going to say 20 to 24 for me. Do you have an age that comes to mind?
Well, not so much an age as much as the Blink 182 song, which is that nobody likes you when you're 23. Oh, and
I don't know this song.
What's my age again?
Oh, there's a line in that song.
Yeah, there's a line in the song. That says, and I totally feel like there's truth to that. There's two ages that come to mind. One is 23.
Okay.
Because I feel as though that was the age where I felt like a lot of my friends who had graduated and gotten jobs, it seemed as if they were figuring out what their life or their ramp up in life had was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And I still felt like I was in the trenches of figuring it out and not really sure if going all in on this stupid dream that was entertainment news was worth it or not. Mm-hmm. And looking at my bank account and seeing red constantly and just really not liking myself, not having a lot of faith in myself. I was partying so much. And I feel like it was the leftovers of one of those horrible relationships that I did finally get out of. But now I was taking it out on new people who I found myself dating.
Yeah.
And I just was not the most pleasant person to be around. But I also think that I hit another one of those maybe right after I hit 30 or 31. Because there was something about coming into the new decade, being the one of the last single girls in my friend group, feeling like, what's wrong with me? Thinking that I needed to start lowering my standards in a lot of areas of life because maybe I was some level of delusional. And I do think that there was this spark of joy that was missing where I had a really hard time being happy for other people because I felt like I was so behind, or that there was still this hole in my heart, or that I just had something that was missing, or what's wrong with me. And so if I could go back and punch myself in the face, I would say probably 23 and 31.
Actually, that's the great prompt question. If you're at a dinner, if you guys are at a work dinner and there's a lull, which we've all been there, you say, anybody have an age that they could go back and punch yourself in the face? Girl, what a prompt. We just came up with a brilliant one. Because I only know your heartbreaks from like high school, watching them in high school.
Right.
And then I heard of them, the subsequent ones later. And then I've always kind of heard about them in hindsight, but I watched you in the ones in high school. They were hard on you. And I am surprised you didn't pick that age at all.
I know, because there was this level of resilience that I found in high school that I feel like I have to go back and actually channel her sometimes.
Yeah.
Because she was someone who, she had those standards and firmly before she really knew what it was to have her heart broken or what it was to be chewed up by the world and spit out. And I actually, did you ever watch on Netflix the movie To All the Boys I've Loved Before?
Yes.
Did you like that as much as I did?
I mean, I like feel so weird sometimes having crushes on people in those movies
because they're like so young
and so cute. And I'm like, I don't know if I should watch this, but it's so great. I only watched, is there a couple of them? I've only watched the one.
And they had a spinoff, but there's nothing like the first one. And the reason why I bring it up though, is I remember watching that movie. And at the time I was on the morning show, I was on that morning radio show in Minneapolis and we all talked about it. And one of the takeaways that we had was we loved it because it was so wholesome.
Yeah.
Like how often do you love and fall in love with a movie and there's nothing to do with SEX. There's nothing to do with like, you know, or prom night this and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, and it really took us back to love in its most wholesome form, which was like, remember when you were in middle school or in high school and like that thought didn't even cross your mind to take this person's clothes off. And maybe you were drinking, but chances are you probably weren't yet.
Yeah.
Like there weren't a lot of the things that were clouding your judgment or your chemistry. And so you were able, even though you had hormones racing through you and there was just, it was just love. And it's, and also you didn't know what it was to hurt yet.
Yeah.
So you would love wholeheartedly. Like you thought that was going to be your person. And maybe you did silly things like pass notes or write love letters, or like we didn't have Snapchat. We didn't have text. Like you had to have full conversations. Like I remember being on a landline phone until late hours in the night, or just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, like all of your hopes and dreams.
Yep.
And there's like a little element of that. It sounds like you wanted to chime in you had a moment of remembering.
I
thought of,
and then I coughed and I let you keep going. It made me think of when my kids color and they always want a new piece of paper if they mess up. And I'm like, just either turn it over or like do your thing over here or something. Like when you find your high school sweetheart, or you're with that first person that you love, whether it be like whatever, then no matter what, like that's it. You have artwork on your page. Like you, there's color in there. No one will ever get that first version of you. And to your point, like we're not even speaking like sexually at all. No one will get that first version of you that has not been hurt, that has not felt joy. Like it goes both ways. It's not just like I'm a hurt and tarnished soul and like this is who you get me. No, there's also like expectations of joy that like, oh, I was super happy here. I'm not having as much fun, but they also feel it. So I just think of that first version of whoever gets that in your heart or your soul the first time around. Like that's why they call it the first love. And it's amazing to me that people are still with their first loves. That concept in life, I would sit and talk for an hour about people that have been together since the age of 14.
Totally.
I think conceptually, my parents, one of the most fascinating things. I forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. I think they had one breakup, but to that point though, I mean, I can't remember if you and I have ever gotten into it here, and this might be a totally different conversation, but I do believe that's one of the things that really separated this relationship apart from other ones, is because I went into it after 5 years of being totally and pretty much mostly intentionally single. I was really, really working on myself. I was making myself whole again. And then we didn't drink. We weren't intimate. And I remember actually, it was the weekend that he met my parents and I met his, and we were staying at each other's parents' home. So we didn't stay the night together when we were visiting. Mm-hmm. And we're in the driveway, like in the car, and just kissing in the car. And it felt so high school. Aww. Like it really felt so high school. Not to bring in a Taylor Swift reference, but I mean, like totally, you know,
where our hearts and our brains go.
But when we were really thinking about it, we realized like, no, the reason why it does feel so wholesome and like high school is because we're going back to some of those like basic fundamentals that we've forgotten about, where, you know, I've absolutely been through my phase of meeting somebody when you're drunk and making out with them in the club
definitely has the legs. You're like, no, it doesn't.
In college when you would have each other's dorm rooms, like right down the hall, yes. It was impossible not to have slumber parties mm-hmm. with whoever it was, or, you know, just some of the drama of the different pieces or confusing alcohol and chemistry or confusing mm-hmm. Intimacy with alcohol, just a lot of the things or the dopamine or the serotonin or whatever it is when you have skin to skin content mm-hmm. contact with a baby and like how that's also released with someone where it's like, well, hold on, is this really do you actually feel safe or actually is this releasing cortisol for when you're in danger and you're just confusing it
totally,
and that was something that we had to totally experience. And I totally, now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh, that's why.
Well, I think we just unearthed our assignment for next Tuesday, which is as follows. It's Thanksgiving week, and my co-host on Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, came up with this. I'm sure it's not, I'm just gonna call it an original term because we fell off our chairs when he first said it. Next Wednesday night across the United States of America, he calls Makeout Super Bowl. Because
what? Yeah, Blackout Wednesday,
Makeout Super Bowl on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Because
everybody's home. You've either broken up with you're coming back to break up with your husband. You're coming mm-hmm. back and you see that person you had a crush mm-hmm. on, and now you look great because you've been to college. They look great. Whatever. Makeout Super Bowl next Wednesday night. So in the spirit of next week being Thanksgiving and just being around family and memories and childhood, let's bring up some. Let's bring like 2 to 3 stories each of just like Thanksgiving memes of like the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that will be next Tuesday for us here on No Breaks.
Let's do it.
Girl,
let's
by do the way, in, amongst the people in public, are we going to go to this high school party that we went to years ago together? It's I'm going to be home that week in December.
Is there a high school party?
No, it's the one where all the classes come together.
I didn't know that.
There's like school reunion.
Really?
I just got plugged for some money, and someone at the end of the email wrote like, I hope to see you on December 23rd. And I was like, maybe I should go to that. But it's all the classes. It's not just ours. Like this person that emailed me was from a class a couple years older than us. Think about it.
I'd be open to it.
I know.
If you go, I'll go.
Okay. I got to find out where it is and stuff. But like.
Well, I'll have to like tie you to my outfit.
I don't go to the club on
December 23rd. But also what's so funny is the fact that, don't forget, my boyfriend went to our high school.
Oh, we're going.
12 years before us.
Put him on the alum list. Oh, hell yeah, we're going. He's having 2 dates because Mr. Unbothered doesn't go to things like that. And that's how he remains unbothered.
I'll have a tie to each of you.
Okay, great. this isn't a zip tie party? Oh, we just wanted to be connected all night.
Oh, no, you're frozen. Did I freeze?
No.
Okay, there you go. I saw you put your sleeve, but I don't know what you said, so I couldn't laugh at your joke.
Oh, this isn't a zip tie party. We just wanted to be connected to each other.
Handcuffs.
Yes. Okay, well, let's make more plans on that publicly and privately. And thanks for the carry. I appreciate you greatly.
Oh, I got you.
For the honesty, as always. And until then, see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.